We're going to look at code analysis, see how we can maintain and improve the quality of the code that we're writing. So there's really two different mechanisms for using code analysis within our Visual Studio projects. One is on a normal class library project, which I have here with job board logic. This is a class library project type in Visual Studio. I can right click on that, simply navigate to the properties, and on the properties window, I'm going to have the option of editing and maintaining the code analysis rules. So from here, let me go ahead and expand this out just a little bit so you can see it better. We're going to have all of the different rules that are grouped in a specific manner. So all of the rules regarding globalization are provided under this globalization category. All of the rules about interoperability are provided here. These are the out-of-the-box rules that Microsoft provides with Visual Studio Team Edition for software developers or, of course, Visual Studio Team Suite. So you get the option of actually going through here, selecting which rules you want to run. So maybe there's certain design rules you want to have execute, certain design rules you don't want to have execute. You can also set an error or warning status. What happens is when you run the code analysis engine, it happens post-compile, and it's essentially like adding additional compiler rules. So this is kind of like a compiler error and a compiler warning. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and have my design rules turned on. I'm going to enable code analysis for just this one assembly that I have here. This is job board logic. Then all I need to do is right-click on that, say rebuild. It's going to rebuild the job board logic project. And when it finishes rebuilding that, let me go ahead and make this so you can see the errors window, you'll see that I have 30 errors and 63 warnings. The 30 errors you're going to see all have the CA2210, CA1014. That CA stands for code analysis, and that is a specific rule that I'm violating. So you'll see CA2210 here. That corresponds to a rule that we're going to actually see here in my code analysis window. Let me go ahead and scroll through here just a little bit and show you what that actually looks like. I'm going to come in here, scroll down a little bit further. There we go. And a little bit further, and we'll find CA2210. Okay. So here's the assembly should have valid strong names. I'm going to simply turn that rule off, save this out. Noticing that I have 30 errors right now, I'm going to simply do a rebuild. What I'm expecting to see happen now is I should have 29 errors because that rule is no longer executing. You'll see, in fact, I do have 29 errors. So you can go through and pick and choose the rules that you want. The rule violations that occur that are at a file line level, it will actually tell you the file, it's an error, and then the line number. You can double click that, and it will actually take you to the line of code that's actually causing the error to occur. So you can actually just sit here and hop around, go to different lines of code that are causing the errors to determine what I need to do to actually fix that. You can also go to a specific instance of an error, so this CA1062, you can right click on that and suppress the error message. That suppression of the error message actually puts an attribute into the code that says I want to suppress this particular violation of the error, valid arguments of public methods. It's actually complaining about this right here, doesn't like the parameter C being passed to an externally visible method there. So you'll see that that's now going to suppress the error message. Notice how it scratches it out down here. If I rerun the code analysis engine, we should actually not get that error at all. We should be down to 28 errors. In fact, we are. The warnings that I'm getting are the code analysis warnings, and what these are in my rule engine are going to be my naming rules. So I've got naming rules turned on here. Let me go ahead and make that a little bit squished. So you'll see that my naming rules are turned on, and those are my actual warnings. So you can control both the errors and the warnings. That's how you set that up for a class library project. If you have a website, what you need to do is actually select the website, since websites don't have project files. Go underneath the website menu option, and notice there's this option for code analysis configuration. This is where I can turn on the code analysis engine rules for a website project. So I can come through here and pick and choose my rule sets as well, and then execute that by saying enable code analysis. And then the next time I do my little rebuild website, it's going to go ahead and run the same rule sets. So you have a lot of capabilities here that you can actually use from a code analysis perspective. The last thing I'm going to show you is coming over here to my Team Explorer, going over here to my job board project in Team Explorer, going to right-click on job board, go to my team project settings, and for my team project settings, what I'm going to have the capability of doing is actually setting up my source control policies and looking at check-in policy. There's in fact a check-in policy for code analysis that allows you to set up which code analysis rules you want to have run and pass before people are allowed to check code in if you're using Team Foundation Server. That can be exceedingly useful there. Once you've set that up, and you've got a certain number of rules set up and click OK, you can go back to your Visual Studio solution, right-click on your solution, and actually migrate those policy settings, the rules that are on in your code analysis check-in policy, and migrate those down to the projects in the individual's Visual Studio solution projects. If you'd like to get additional information on Visual Studio Team System, there's a couple of resources for you. Obviously, the product homepage on msdn.microsoft.com is a great place to start. When you go to the Visual Studio Team System homepage, you're going to have information about how to learn it, how to try it, how to buy it. One great thing to do is to actually go underneath the download sections over on the left. That's going to take you to a page. It's going to have information on what you can actually download. If you go down, there's actually going to be the option for trial software. And notice here under the popular downloads, there's actually Visual Studio 2005 Team Suite Trial Edition. And there's also Team Foundation Server Trial Edition that you can download. That allows you to test all of the client functionality for 180 days before trying to determine, do you need a particular Team Edition? Do you want Team Suite? What do you actually need to support your development processes in your organization? So that's a very great resource for you. There's also another great resource, Team System Rocks. The Team System Rocks page here, let me actually navigate to the homepage, actually has a Team System news blog, which kind of keeps you up to date on the latest stuff going on with Team System. If you navigate to the tutorials, that's actually going to have tutorial videos that you can watch that have a lot of information about the different features. You'll notice the ones over here on the left are very short, you know, sometimes 1 or 2 minutes or less. The ones over here on the right are much longer videos. So you'll see 15-minute videos, 24-minute videos on specific topics. So this is a secondary resource you can use as well. So keep both of those in mind as you're trying to learn more about Team System.